It is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Well, I beat the drum and hold. Welcome back to the Nosebleeds Podcast. Your ears aren't deceiving you, and this isn't the Ghost of Christmas Past. I'm Nick Palmer. I'm making a guest cameo here. It's been 7 months since I've stepped into the studio, and I'm joined by two great friends of mine, Grace McCarron, Kurt Sippel, two avid Mets followers, two fountains of New York Metropolitan's baseball knowledge, and we have quite a somber episode today, and I'm shocked that I'm being allowed to be the point guard on this one.
I'm surprised too, actually.
Yeah, I'm surprised we let you do this. This was a mistake. I don't know why we did.
But you said to be kind, and I'm going to be kind today. Let's talk about the shape that the Mets are in, because it's not a pentagon, it's not an octagon, it's an everyone is gone.
I hate you.
Brandon Nimmo, no longer a New York Met. He got traded to the Texas Rangers for Marcus Semien, one-for-one deal. I miss those kinds of trades in baseball, by the way, where it was just like fill a need for fill a need. I think that was, you know, it might have been a little sad because Brandon Nimmo was a staple of the Mets outfield, but you got, you know, an all-star second baseman, former all-star second baseman, in return in Marcus Semien, and he has the potential to produce for you guys at a position where, let's face it, Jeff McNeil isn't hitting. So that's an upgrade at second base.
and the grass is green, and he might be the only one left.
Yeah.
It's putting it lightly. That happened, and I think you guys could live with that with David Stearns after that. That was
fine.
Okay.
I wasn't mad at him. Fine.
And then, what was it, two days ago?
Diaz was 2 days ago.
Edwin Diaz does not re-sign with the New York Mets. I'm trying not to smile. He's a Los Angeles Dodger now. He is the premier free agent closer, the premier strikeout thrower in all of baseball, I think starter or closer. I mean, you can talk about Tarek Skubal, but Paul Skeens. But as far as relievers go, Edwin Diaz is top notch as far as swing and miss stuff. He signs with the Dodgers, signs an AAV record for a closer. And then yesterday, and this one, I don't care about the New York Mets, and this made me sad. Pete Alonso does not sign with the New York Mets, as was expected, as was needed, I would argue. The New York Mets do not have a first baseman right now. Jeff McNeil, welcome to first base.
Paul Goldschmidt, welcome to first base.
Hey, we don't know that
all
to be
things
true.
That aren't funny.
Luis Arraez, welcome to first base. Okay, he signs with the Baltimore Orioles to sign an AAV record for a first baseman.
No, I thought Vladdy still had it higher. I don't know.
I believe it's Pete Alonso.
Oh my God. Kurt just showed us a picture of Dom Smith.
Sorry. The highest AAV value in Orioles history.
Oh.
And the second largest financial commitment made in the history of the Orioles. The last big deal that they've made, really comparable to this, I would say, was Chris Davis. Right.
Which is a long time ago
That was about 9 years ago.
Yeah.
That was a long, long time ago. That was in Obama's America.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go to Grace first because this happened on her birthday.
Uh-huh.
Happy birthday, Grace.
Oh, thank you.
By the way.
It was great.
Happy birthday, Pete Alonso's an Oriole.
So I would say it's not my favorite birthday of all time. Like, am I surprised that he didn't come back to the Mets? Not necessarily.
Why? Well, why aren't you? Let's start there.
Did you
expect it to happen? And you say no. Why not?
It's not that I was expecting him to go elsewhere. I'm not surprised that he went elsewhere. Because 5 years is obviously not a commitment that they wanted to make with him, like Stearns and the Mets, they didn't want that for him. And
why?
I guess they think is, you know, first of all, if you want to talk about the problems at first base, like, he's not the best defensive player I've ever seen. Okay, fine. That's fine. That's a valid thing to say. I think the thing here that we have to remember is that these players, except for Juan Soto now, are not David Stearns' players. He inherited them. So he doesn't feel the sentimentality aspect that maybe...
And Lindor.
And Lindor. Well, no, he wasn't here for Lindor when they...
Oh, no, him. I meant to say, like, oh, in, never mind. My brain just went off.
That's
when
okay.
You were talking about inheriting players.
He's hearing echoes. He's hearing a lot of things.
But that's not... They're not his guys, so he... He sees, you know, an opportunity to, can you, what are we doing? He sees an opportunity to, I guess if he's thinking they can improve at first base somehow, he's very big on the whole run prevention thing, which is fine. The guy does hit 50 home runs or around there fairly often, though, so I think that's something you should take into consideration. But he doesn't feel like the sentimentality aspect that Mets fans do for Pete Alonso, who was the Rookie of the Year in 2019, has the franchise homer record. He's there. He's our guy. Like, he's our guy. David Stearns doesn't feel that. So if he sees a contract, what was it, $155 million over 5 years with the Orioles? Like, if he sees that, it's a lot of money. But if he might see that and be like, that's too much. And the, you know, homegrown aspect of Pete Alonso doesn't matter to him that much. You know, we can let him go. I don't agree with
for
it.
Who? That's the question.
My question is, how are they going to get better? Because they now need to... David Stearns is under a ton of pressure here because he got rid of Nimmo, which I don't think was that expected. Like, I don't remember seeing a lot of things about the Mets are going to trade Nimmo until it happened. That was not expected. You know, you can have your opinion on that. That one, to me, is less egregious than letting Diaz and Alonso walk. But then, like, you have... three guys who were reliable, who were cornerstones of the team, and now you have a lot of question marks where you already had a lot of question marks with the pitching staff and the bullpen. It's just a lot. I don't know where they're going from here.
Well, Kurt,
let's
talk about where we think they might be going. I'm just going to read you off some free agent first basemen, and you tell me if you think they'd be a good fit. Okay, and we'll go by war, okay? So we'll talk about the cream of the crop first, and then we'll work our way down. Ryan O'Hearn, I think.
He saved my fantasy team this year.
Sorry, did you win?
You
I didn't
even
win.
In the championship.
Did you
whoa.
Win?
All right.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa.
Let's not be so.
You know what?
Okay.
We're not going to talk about how I lost by one RBI. Like, actually, I don't need to talk about that.
That was
right
absurd.
Now.
That said, okay, the best fits for the Mets. Paul Goldschmidt, I think...
Reese Hoskins.
Is serviceable. So
that's
is who
funny.
I was going to get to.
Guys, no.
I was going to get to Reese Hoskins. Wow. You already have an electric clubhouse culture with what's going on between Soto and Lindor. Just throw Reese Hoskins in there, you know? The Mets love Reese Hoskins.
Has
there
any?
Has there ever been any bad blood?
Oh, yeah. No.
Guys, I'd actually rather have me play first base than Reese Hoskins.
Would you rather
first
have
base.
Dominic Smith play first base?
Yes.
Dom Smith
he's
is coming
nice
back.
He's a nice person. He's a nice person, Nick. And he's friends with Pete Alonso.
That's what gets you a big contract, is he's a nice person.
Yes.
Yeah, he was hitting.
He
hitting
had
right
some
today.
Moments. He had some moments.
In spring training.
No. No.
With the
in
Giants,
20.
He
at
was,
the,
Giants, he was fine this
at,
year.
At the end of the 2019 season, well, the last game of the season, he hit a walk-off, and it was great. That was a very meaningful
listen,
season for me, even though they missed the
that
playoffs.
That is true.
But
he
I
played 63 games this year. Not a lot. Not a lot.
No,
he
that's
hit
that's
284.
Okay.
58 hits, 33 RBIs, 15 walks, 42 strikeouts.
Right.
Still, though, not that bad.
Okay. Getting back to Pete Alonso. I understand the fielding is not...
Yeah.
First of all, the fielding was good in the first part of his career. Last 2 years, it's been on the decline. Last year was abysmal, fielding-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at his savant, he's in the second percentile of range, fifth percentile of arm strength, so if he's getting a relay from Juan Soto, I don't even want to think about that combination as to trying to throw someone out
Juan
of the plate.
Juan Soto could be playing first base.
So, this is where I'm getting at.
I'm going to throw up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to sign Pete Alonso to 5 years, and I assume he watched him play first base, he said, all right, I don't know how much longer Pete Alonso can play first base. He might just be a DH, right?
Mm-hmm.
In that case, what do you do with Juan Soto in 3 years? Which, yeah. Seeing Juan Soto play the outfield now is abysmal to watch. It's like watching Teoscar Hernandez in right field. You just don't do it. Kurt?
I got no comment. I mean, I didn't think that he was so horrendous in right field this year.
There's a highlight reel of him missing fly balls.
I mean, yes, but there's that's
but his
what
offense,
happens.
I think outweighs
his,
that.
His offense
I
makes
think
up
you have
for
to
it.
Take
I'm,
everything
I'm not
into
talking
account.
About his offense.
No, I know, but like you had Stanton playing. I'm not comparing the two. I'm saying you had Stanton playing left field this year. For
no, you
two
didn't.
Games.
For 2 games, you had
still
Juan though. Soto in right field the entire season.
He played right field.
What are you talking about?
My point being, when these people are valuable and that you need them to play, it's okay to have them in the outfield position.
That it is okay. You would rather
have
them at the DH.
Yeah.
Juan Soto does not have excellent arm strength.
I said good arm strength. I didn't say excellent.
What, like 60th percentile?
I'm not sure. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
I think it's quite average. But the point is, you don't want to have both of them in the field.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That hurts your right side of the field. So I understand where Stearns is coming from there. The problem is you need a power bat to clean up
one.
Juan Soto walking. I think Ron Darling said something like this, and I liked it. As of now, you're paying Juan Soto to walk 125 times a year.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. Until you get a power bat to back him up, and that's not Luis Arraez.
Mm-hmm.
He is a contact hitter.
Yeah. Which is fine, but they don't need, you know.
That's
they
fine,
have power
but
bat
Juan Soto is not stealing you bases to get to second base,
exactly.
So Arraez can knock him in.
Yeah.
You really, really need a power bat. And if you don't have Pete Alonso, what do you go to 40-year-old Carlos Santana? Like, I'm trying to think of guys who can hit it out of the park. Do you have any answers?
No, actually. I just, like, it's like an identity issue. They apparently already had clubhouse issues this year. Like,
you could tell.
You could tell. You got to a certain point of the year where they weren't winning anymore, and that showed on the players' faces that they didn't, you know, they didn't have that much fun with each other anymore, and that's fine. But
why do you think that is?
I don't know. Like, nobody really knows. I know there's all the reports from Puma and everybody, but like,
and Francisco Lindor,
right? But nobody knows
who
except
is
the players.
The best clubhouse guy, maybe in baseball.
Yes,
Francisco Lindor.
Right.
So if he's saying that there's a problem with a certain player, Juan Soto, does that not like?
I don't
Does
know.
That not bug you?
Not really.
The fact that you signed this guy for this much money and he not only he it seems like he's only there to collect the checks and pad his personal stats.
This is propaganda.
I don't think this is true.
I also here's my problem is that he and I we have talked about this. He is good enough where he can be that kind of person. There are players on that team, Jeff McNeil,
okay,
who act a certain way, they act like a big shot. And they do not have the numbers to back it up. Juan Soto, if he puts up the numbers that he did this year, I don't really care what he says. I don't care. They did not bring him in to be a captain.
No, but you'd like him to gel with the team, and you'd like him
like,
to...
Yes, sure, but also, like, they need to start winning games before I care about everything
that's
else.
That's fair enough.
Like,
that's fair enough.
Didn't Jeff McNeil punch Juan Soto? Punch Francisco Lindor in
they
the
got
face?
Into, yeah, Rat Raccoon, that was a whole song and dance a few years ago. That's 4 years ago
Are we talking really, like, who's really locker room issues? It's definitely Jeff McNeil before anyone else.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Like, that is more my issue, is that when you're not
first base.
Right, when you're not performing and then you want to cause problems in the clubhouse, Juan Soto, if he, you know, he wants to talk a little, like, he wants to not be best friends with everybody, I don't care, because he's putting up close to MVP numbers.
Right. Like, talking about putting up close to MVP numbers, let's talk about Edwin Diaz a little bit, because...
Do we have to?
This is really. What are we doing this episode
this
for?
This is really painful. I don't know. I don't know if I should have agreed to this. I feel like I'm in mourning, but fine. I guess we can. Whatever.
Among all pitchers that have thrown at least 500 innings in their career, Diaz's 39.9% strikeout rate is second best all time, only behind the 41.1% of Astros closer Josh Hader. He's one of four pitchers with a career strikeout rate of at least 35%. And among that company is Hader, Chapman, and Craig Kimbrell, my goat. This makes sense for the Dodgers, okay? And I'm just going to talk about this from the Dodgers bullpen perspective.
Go ahead.
Tanner Scott was abysmal last year. Edwin Diaz had a similar ERA to Tanner Scott. It was both in the fours.
Mm-hmm.
Both in the fours.
Yeah. I don't remember off the dome.
I can see where the hesitation comes in. I know Stearns offered him kind of the same deal and was willing to go higher with mm-hmm. deferrals. But Diaz was rubbed the wrong way by not being informed that what?
He wanted to go
that
to
Devin L- that Devin Williams. No, you know.
Well,
but
that is
to,
true.
He wanted to go to LA to play with his brother. That's how I really feel about it.
What do you
it.
Mean? He's not a Dodger anymore.
still, he's not a Dodger anymore?
No, he was on the Reds.
No, you know, he was a Dodger last year. Oh, he is no longer a Dodger.
I was going to say, we did not hear.
Yes.
What is he, a free? Where
he does
he?
Not want to play with his brother because his brother is not in L.A. what he does want
to
do is...
What happened to his brother?
His work on a three-peat.
Oh, my God.
He's on the Braves.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Alexis, don't worry. It's Alexis Diaz. That's not
this.
The Diaz you got to be worrying
I
about.
I know. I remember the Mets were circling around Alexis Diaz a few years ago. They were like, oh, we should have the brothers.
This
like,
is not the Diaz you're looking for.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so Diaz and Scott, eerily similar pitchers in a way. They're both two-pitch pitchers. They're both slider fastball guys. Diaz relied more on the slider early in his career. Now he's been looking toward the fastball. It's been looking better. The difference is that Scott, up and down as far as between years, he's kind of like Blake Snell in that way, where it's like he'll have a great year and then a kind of mediocre year. Diaz, much more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Diaz, 2 years older, okay? And the fastball velo is dipped. It was, I believe, 99 on average the year before. Last year, down to 97. So maybe Stearns is seeing that and saying, hey, maybe we want guys that are on the uptick. And Devin Williams cannot get worse than last year.
Well, that's my thing, is that now I don't know. My problem.
No, he can't.
Yeah,
my problem with Devin Williams, and like, I didn't hate the move, but my problem now that they don't have Edwin Diaz is that they don't have a sure thing for a closer. Devin Williams is no longer a sure thing after whatever went on last year. You could have said that 2 years ago, and then Pete Alonso obviously screwed him up in the head with that wild card home run, which now I can't even watch anymore because it's too painful. But anyway, you don't know what you're getting with Devin Williams now, and they already have so many question marks on the entire pitching staff because they have, you know.
No pitching staff.
They basically have no starting pitchers at the moment that I believe in.
Hey,
except
Clay Holmes.
Maybe Clay Holmes.
I believe
right?
in Clay.
That's not good. So I don't continue. I don't know.
Kodai
I just
Senga?
Had to interject there. I don't believe in Kodai Senga.
They need to
what
trade
happened?
Kodai Senga.
He got injured and turned into a pumpkin.
He doesn't have his legs.
It's true. I love him, but it's true.
He said he doesn't have his legs.
He doesn't have his legs.
I don't know what that means, but he doesn't have his legs.
How about as far as relievers go, you want a reunion with D-Rob?
I love D-Rob. Although he's very old now, I don't know if they should do that.
Man.
I love him so much, though. He used to live right by my house. He used to live in Waterside, which is, like, down the street from me in Manhattan, you know. Yeah. Right by the FDR.
True.
Sorry, it doesn't matter, but
yeah,
I love him. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Eh.
Well, this has been a riveting episode.
I might have been more upset. I might have been so more upset with Edwin Diaz leaving than Pete Alonso.
Okay, why?
I love Edwin Diaz.
So
the trumpets.
I need the trumpets,
how electric his pitching is. He gets you. He'll walk three batters.
I was
going to
say he stresses you out.
Well, that's his one weakness is that he will walk a couple guys, but then he'll get the whiff that he needs. At the winter meetings, actually, Andre Ethier, former Dodger, did some recruiting for Edwin Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
Went up to Edwin Diaz, said, "So you're signing with the Dodgers, right?" And maybe that did something, maybe it didn't. I just love Andre Ethier, and that's a
great.
Nice little story there.
Thank you for that.
You know,
Nick.
You guys aren't really contributing a lot of
There's
helpful
nothing for
things
me to
here.
Contribute
I'm
here.
I'm just very emotional.
All right, then how about this?
Okay,
let's wrap up the episode. I'm going to start with give a parting speech to Edwin Diaz, each of you.
Okay.
Address him directly.
Dear Edwin, gonna miss how you used to give me 17 heart attacks a night by walking multiple guys and loading the bases and then getting three outs in a row. I'm really gonna miss it. I'm gonna miss the trumpet entrance whenever I'd bring my friends who don't care about the Mets to a Mets game. They'd be like, "This is cool." And I'd be like, "It's so cool."
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Dodgers and Kings organist Dieter Ruhl has already been practicing.
You already informed me of that.
So.
I've already seen this.
Intro.
I'm past
Kurt,
it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And Edwin, I love you.
I'm
I
actually
will.
Too upset about this
yeah.
to even do this.
We can't even talk.
You don't even want to
no.
say goodbye to
Edwin.
Okay,
how
about Pete? How about Pete?
Oh, my God, I'm going to throw up.
You have something to say to Pete.
I do have something to say to Pete. Thank you for allowing me to watch such an electric season last year, even though they lost. It was very fun to watch you break the home run record. Man, that truly sucks. Very good to talk to you on the field. Chop it up a little bit.
Oh, you chopped
always
it up
nice.
With him? Aww.
Very, very rare.
How did the conversation go?
It was always, hey, and that was it.
Oh.
No, that was it. That's
you know
that chopping
that's
it up.
That's beautiful.
That's a chopping it up.
That's beautiful.
He's always a nice guy. You know what? It is what it is. I mean, the Mets are in new beginnings.
Yeah.
Just we don't know what those new beginnings are.
We don't know yet. When you sign Kyle Tucker, they have to sign Kyle Tucker. Right now,
what is the plan otherwise?
Right now,
lose
everything. Because right now,
well, then David Stearns gets fired next year. No. If they really tank this season, he's going to lose his job, and he has to know that.
Well, the year that they were supposed to tank, they didn't tank. So realistically,
24.
And it was great. It was some of the happiest days of my life.
Yeah,
but.
2024.
Because
like,
the other
great.
People that they can go get, I guess Alex Bregman, you don't really need a third baseman.
No.
You've been experimenting with every third baseman on planet Earth.
I like Brett Beatty at third base.
Yeah. Come on.
He's your
come
second.
Come on. Be so
I,
for
I like
real.
Brett Beatty at third base. I'm willing to believe in Brett.
Cody Bellinger.
He's a Yankee.
That's not true.
Okay. If the Mets haven't done anything.
The Yankees haven't done anything. The Yankees are operating, balling on such a budget, I don't even know where that comes from.
You guys have unlimited budget.
That's the problem.
Right,
well, the
that
issue
is a problem.
Stearns, I don't know if Stearns realizes that he doesn't have to, like, not be a Brewer anymore.
Don't think that he realizes what team he's the GM for?
No,
come on.
No, here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. I think he is trying to be too smart. I think he's trying to outsmart everybody.
That's my point.
And I'm not saying that he's a very smart guy. He's obviously, to be a president of baseball ops, you can't be an idiot. But I think he's trying too hard to outsmart everybody.
That's my point.
And sometimes it's like you can bring back Pete Alonso.
Two years of Pete Alonso being really bad is not that big of a deal.
You think Boris would take that?
Yeah.
If, 2 years?
No, five.
No,
it's five years. But
right.
If they are truly
in win now mode, which they've been saying literally since Steve Cohen bought the team, we want to win in the next three. Fine. If they are truly in win now mode, you don't worry about the end of these contracts.
I don't
and
know
that's
if
why
it's
you
win now mode. I think it's
that's
win
what I'm concerned
in Juan Soto's
that's
lifetime.
That's my concern. And that's a long stretch.
15 years.
I'm what's going to happen in those 15 years? Right. I'm going to be 36 by then.
Oh, my gosh.
And that is...
And Nick, you might just be like 1,000.
Right.
Well, I'll probably
sickening.
Be dead.
I was going to say. I didn't want to say dead, but...
Like,
you know,
that was more of it. Yeah. It's kind of... It's I could run for president at that point.
You could.
I would
never. Michael Conforto could be a Met this year.
Oh, Michael Conforto. I love him so much. He's not
he's
very
definitely
good.
Not
you, you don't want... Trust
he's
me, you don't
good.
Want
I
Michael Conforto.
So much,
the
guys,
thing is that I'm looking at the free agents right now that are unsigned...
I love him.
I don't.
He was so good in 2017, 2019. That was like
Michael
my peak
Conforto,
time.
Michael
I had
Conforto.
To watch yes. him play left field almost every day for the last year. It was atrocious
to watch.
There's
no reason
watch.
For you guys to be playing him every day. Like, that's on
Starling
that's
Marte
on the
has to be re-signed.
He might not come
Needle
back
mover.
Either.
Needs to be re-signed.
And
him and Juan Soto are good friends.
Oh, because that's how we sign
well,
people.
Well, that's the problem.
We
like,
sign
we
people if they're
that.
Nice. We sign them if they're good friends. But as soon as it comes to baseball ability, that's tertiary.
Yeah, it is.
Tertiary. That's a good one.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
That was a nice one.
And finally, any words to Brandon Nimmo?
I didn't even do my Pete speech.
Oh, do your Pete speech, please.
Pete was my first jersey ever. So far,
really?
Still my only jersey. Because I'm
in
so
all
indecisive.
Sports?
Yes, because here's my thing. I am so indecisive. I still have a Mets gift card from last Christmas. Haven't spent it yet because I do want to buy another jersey, but I cannot decide. I'm probably going to buy a Soto jersey because he's not going to leave. He's not going to abandon me. But he is the only jersey I still have because I bought it, I want to say, in 2021. And, you know, if I had known what would happen 5 years later, basically, would I have done that? Probably still would have because I love him that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the Milwaukee homer on Devin Williams, actually, one of the happiest sports moments of my life, which sounds pathetic when talking to you because you've seen back-to-back championships, but I literally cried in Lydia's dorm room. So that was great. A lot of other great moments. I was there when he tied the rookie home run record in 2019.
That's great.
It was electric. He brought us so many of those moments, and now he's going to bring them to Baltimore, which, great for Baltimore. I don't have a problem with the Orioles. But I'm
gonna
miss him so much. I don't know what to do. I'm adrift.
Can I make my Pete speech?
Go ahead.
No. You're gonna like this. You're gonna like this. It's only good things. Of all the Mets, you were not my favorite. You were not even really in the top 50%. But I cannot think of a more Met player than Pete Alonso. He was the embodiment of your franchise. And the thing that I liked about him most was not the home runs, was not his goofy, you know,
he
personality.
Is
he is very goofy. I like his endorsement of chocolate milk. That is what I like the most, because I also love chocolate milk.
When
true.
Did that happen?
He drinks it before the Home Run Derby.
Oh,
sorry,
right.
But he drinks it before his World Series. And
I hate you. Why have you let him do this?
And you know what? I can respect how many home runs he hits in batting practice. That's really great. And I think he's going to do very well on the Orioles and still look very large, even more large, perhaps, in that uniform. And I wish him the best. Pete Alonso, you hit home runs. And with that, I think
that
we're
going
to end this episode of Nosebleeds. I'm so sorry for doing this. They let me do this. And I'm so glad that I could be back.
I will never make
this
mistake again.
This was a mistake. Yeah. I honestly, I went in trying to be nice. But there are just some punches that you just can't pull. We're going to the Islanders game. How about the best thing to happen on
the
island this year?
The best thing to happen to New York sports these days.
If you live on the island, don't waste your time going to see a Mets game next year in the spring.
Who's
going to
tell
them
that the Mets
are
not on Long Island?
Going to see the Brooklyn Nets.
That's whack.
And don't waste your time going to see an NYCFC game because they lose in the playoffs every year. And even though their new stadium is going to be great. And I love NYCFC, but they got destroyed by Miami.
Darn.
Messi's pretty good. Yeah. Is that the ending message of this Nosebleeds podcast? Messi's pretty good. All right. Grace, you want to give us an LFGM, and then we'll get out of here?
LFGM.
Pete Alonso, Edwin Diaz, Brandon Nimmo, you will be missed moderately. Mm-hmm.